So it's the Romans passage we're going to be thinking about this morning. So, okay, then here's the passage. Well, actually, not the whole passage. Nothing but the passage. Actually, just one sentence. Can you cope with that? Can you cope with one sentence? I thought we might be stretching ourselves to get the whole. It's one little sentence that the Apostle Paul pens in a letter to the people in Rome, the church in Rome. People who were apparently quite a lot like you and me. Perhaps apart from our dress sense. That is, they were trying to make sense of their lives. And we've all been trying to do that, haven't we? Some of us for longer than others. Trying to understand why and how things in their lives and their culture were moving so quickly and changing so fast. Trying to find their place in the incredibly fast-paced and increasingly pluralistic, do you like that word? What they were living in. Does it sound familiar? Could be today, couldn't it? Could be our country, our world. I mean, you just think about the last 12 months. What's happened in the last 12 months you would never have probably dreamt would have happened. So many changes. And so quick moving. Who knows what next week is going to bring. I can't go past that without my Auntie Elsie's saying, as I've told you before, my Auntie Elsie, if she was 99, used to say, it's a good job you don't know what the corner, what's around the corner, or she'd never turn it. And I say, I don't mind, because God knows what's around my corner. So that's fine. See, like the good folk of Rome were trying, they were really, really trying to figure out what their faith, our faith, had to do with all this. Where did it fit in with this changing life and the demands of the culture they were living in, and yet what the message from Christ was? How did their faith fit in with this? And while they're trying to sort all this out between them, in the house groups, up pops this letter from Paul. The letter's all about how hard it is for us to do what God wants us to do. Not that we don't want to do what God wants us to do. We do. Are you still with me? Too many do's here, aren't they? We do want to do what God wants us to do, but we keep on doing the opposite. Sound familiar? We keep on falling short. And then we often feel guilty about it. About what we've done wrong. Sometimes we feel so guilty about it, we can't shake that feeling off. We carry it about with us. Sometimes, for years, the guilt. But then Paul goes on in his letter about how we can never ever get it right on our own. Right? Don't keep trying to sort it out, Romans. You can't do it on your own. We have to trust in Jesus, whom God sent, to enable us to let go of that guilt and the hold that that guilt has on us. And to know the love of God poured into us. We need to let go and let God take hold. Easier said than done, I hear you say. And I agree. Our Christian life often seems like we're stuck between knowing what God wants us to do and not doing it. Per day. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. Jesus never said it was going to be easy. And then in Paul's letter comes that one little sentence. There comes that one little sentence. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Did you hear that? No condemnation. None. Nada. Zilch. For my Lancastrian friends, nout. I don't know what it is in Staffordshire. I don't know. And not in some distant future, but right now, today, this morning, right here, this very minute. Don't have to wait for it. No condemnation. And why? Simply because God loves us. He loves us enough to forgive us, to welcome him into God's loving embrace like a loving parent welcomes back an errant child. God's love is more powerful than anything. It's more powerful than death, praise be, than your sin, even your sense of guilt, the sense of being condemned. God's love is more powerful than this. You know, we need to hear this promise so much that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. No matter what we've done or has been done to us, no matter what we may have previously or presently believed, no matter where we are, nothing is too great for God to say, you know what? I love you. And there is no condemnation for you if you love me. So, back to the sign at our neighbour's house. What will you do with your wild and precious life? I don't want to know about your wild bits unless you want to tell me. Tell me in private later. What are you going to do now that there is no condemnation? Tell me, what will you do now that there is no condemnation? What will you do now that you know you are free? What will you do with all the love and grace that God can give you? What will you do? The first step is that we each need to know that there is nothing holding us back. We need to make sure that whatever it is that might hold us back, anything that's getting in the way of our relationship with God, anything at all, we need to put it one side, throw it away, get rid of it, let it go, and place our complete and utter trust in Christ. Our complete and utter trust in Christ. I think I've told you before, so I'll tell you again, just in case you've forgotten. Let's go and go again. I was spending about 5 years ignoring the prodding from God for the call to local preaching. And when Ashley Cooper was up here once, quite a few years back, and I was sat about next to where Philip is probably, and he asked us all to stand up. Well, firstly, to think about a phrase or a word, that what God meant to us, and then all to stand up. And he said, I'm going to start shouting out phrases and words, and when I say what you thought of, sit down. And you might not believe it, but I was quite quiet then, didn't normally just to come in and sit at the back and go. But I ended up sitting there next to Philip. Well, not next to Philip, but where Philip is. And I had just finished reading. I was in the middle of the disciple course, the book, What's So Amazing About Grace, that Barbara pushed my way. And I was so convicted by something that I had carried with me for years. And when I mean years, I mean decades. And God was saying, you've got to let go of this because my grace is so amazing. It is more than this. And I can't use you unless you let go. So I stood there and Ashley Cooper started shouting out these and people sat down, boom, 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 boom. And I'm thinking, everybody's looking at me. I don't like this. And it got to about three of us. And you tell me why a preacher like Ashley Cooper did not think of saying God's grace. That would have been one of the first things I'd have said. Why did he not say it? Why are these coincidences? It's not a coincidence. God kept it out of his mind, I believe, for me that morning. So you got to about three of us. I can't tell you who the other two were. I was so embarrassed. Because when he said, I can't think of any more, so I'm going to ask you, And in that moment, I could hear God saying to me, if you don't stand here in front of everybody and admit to God's saving grace in your life, I might as well give up on Eugene. Not that he would have done, but that's what I felt. I felt it was my time. Not that I turned around to everybody and went. So when he came to me and pointed, I just took a big breath and said, God's amazing grace in my life. and sat down because my knees were wobbling back then. And it was shortly after that that John slipped me a little book, said, "Have you thought of local preaching?" And I went to Jeff, eventually thinking, well, if God can deal with that, he can deal with anything. And Jeff said, about time too. God works in wonderful and strange ways. What I'm saying, I'm going to ask you in a minute to consider, is it's not easy to deal with some of the things we carry. I'm not saying that you're all carrying something, but you may well be doing. I don't know. But I felt very clearly that this is what God wanted us to think about this morning. Because if you are carrying anything, it'll be heavy. It'll be weighing you down in some area of your life. And it doesn't need to. Because the step of faith and belief and trust in Christ can take that and lift it. For my yoke is light. You will not be heavy laden, Christ promised. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And I've still got some things I need to deal with. Never going to be perfect, that's for sure. But that step for me was my step of okay, and then God said, okay, now I can work with you. Now you trust. And since then, I've wandered lots and lots of ways, don't get me wrong. But there comes a point, and it might be this morning for you, and God is saying, okay, this is the time this morning I want you to think. Are you going to give me that you've been carrying with, that's weighing you down, that's getting in the way? Are you going to do it? And it might not be that it's something that you've got to get rid of. It might be something that you need to commit to. My two went together at the time. So it might be that you say, well, I trust and know that God has taken and can deal with everything I've got. But that's it. Thank you very much. Sidestep. Because God might actually be calling you to whatever it might be. To those of us who like an afternoon sleep, it might not necessarily be with the youth club on a Thursday evening, but it might be to committing to a half hour of prayer every morning for one particular thing. It might be more committing to prayer life. It might be a commitment to say, okay, I'll do whatever you say. Gulp. It might be that you know very well what God's been saying and you have avoided it. So two things this morning. Whether God is weighing down with something that God knows you need to give to him. Or whether it's that commitment. If God has your name written on the palm of his hand, who are we to say no thanks? It is for us to grasp that hand and walk with him. So, I had a few grumbles this morning who said, shut your ears, you're getting just like Nikki, because I was giving out pieces of paper, and some of you might not have got some because I forgot to bring them out, so I've got some more somewhere. Hard luck. So anybody who didn't get one, put your hand up and Nikki will come and give you one. Oh, come on, be honest now. Some of you didn't, thank you. And I've got some extra pens if anybody wants any. Now, you see, I always come prepared. Always come prepared. Woo! Echoes. Do you like these? I'm going to put one of these in my cloakroom next time when I finish with it. Bucket. Not your bucket list. Not your bucket list. I'm going to place one down here. How about here? Just avoid it if you're getting up. I'm going to place the other one about here. Oh, they're not lined up. I'm all for things being in line. Did you want one? We're going to have a worship video in a moment. Literally in a minute. So what I want you to do, and there's a pen at each end, I only put one down because most of you come with pens anyway. You don't all have to do this, of course. But if you feel that God is calling you to do, make a commitment, or to take that step and throw away what it is that's holding you back, then I'm inviting you this morning to take that step. I want you to write on that piece of paper either what it is that's holding you back, fold it up, and toss it in the bin. Throw it away with the rubbish. Get it out. And as you do so, either aloud or quietly to yourself, no condemnation. None. Or equally, if it's a commitment, then take that gulp and step and write, whatever it could be, okay, Lord, and fold it up and place it gently in the bin as a place of commitment. Worship videos for a 5 minutes time, long length, and you've got plenty of time to think and decide where you sit and whether God is calling you to take those steps this morning.